The Lowdown Chronicles. Meet your maker.
Roll. Hey Steffen, how are you?
Moin, I'm fine. I'm happy to be here. A little bit nervous, but also super excited that we finally make it after the first time you told me about this. So let's see.
Yeah, by the way, this is another episode of Lowdown Podcast, this time with the famous youngster, I would say. From an OG Berliner, born and raised.
Yes.
Steffen Grapp. Welcome, Steffen.
Thank you.
So, Berlin bred?
Berlin bred. Born and raised in Berlin, actually in Kreuzberg, where I grew up till the age of, I think, 4 or 5. And then we moved to the deep north, to Heiligensee in Reinickendorf, almost Brandenburg, because at this time, Kreuzberg was like a little bit more sketchy than nowadays. And so my family decided to move to Heiligensee, where it's a little bit more chill. And then we grew up there. And I think in the age of 12 or 13, 14 maybe, we moved to Wittenau. And then I was living there. And now since like 3 years almost, I'm living by myself, first in Mitte, then wedding. Yep, that's what it is.
And your parents, they are from Berlin as well, or they moved to Berlin?
Yeah, both from Berlin. Actually, also Heiligensee.
Okay.
My father, he grew up in Heiligensee. And my mom, I think, wedding. My grandparents still live there in wedding, but yeah.
Okay.
Both from there.
Cool. And how do you got in touch with skateboarding?
Actually, I think skateboarding and also photography kind of came at the same time. My best friend at this time in Heiligensee, she used to have like a skateboard and camera and got me a little bit into that. So we were like meeting up and taking photos together and uploading them on SchülerVZ. That was like the pre-Facebook thing. And yeah, then she also shared a skateboard, and I was like borrowing hers because I had a waveboard at first. I thought it was like super cool, and then it got broken, so I decided to borrow her skateboard and got into that. Then shortly after, I got my own first setup and got a bunch of friends from Heiligensee into skateboarding, but they quit like quite fast, so I had to go into the city and see what's up there. And then, I think it was like one super hot summer day where I got into the skate hall in Berlin, which used to be at this point from Adidas. And I think it was like 30 degrees or whatever. I don't even know why I went to the skate hall, but randomly out of nowhere, I was like meeting Johannes Schürmeister.
Ah, yeah.
And I think the rest is history. We just like bonded, and since then we like best friends. Used to meet like all the time, still every day, almost. Yeah.
And now you're the little downtown scene here in Berlin, like a real crew, I would say.
Kinda. I think over the last decade. I mean, I was starting skating in like 12 or 13. Yeah, 12 years ago. So since the last decade, we built a pretty strong crew, I guess, from all over the place. Not only like Berlin guys at first, but like only our friends from Berlin, but from like the West, from like JJ from the West, and then Johannes from the Deep East, me from the North, and then a couple other guys. So we were just meeting up, and then more and more guys came into the crew, never left. And then we started like since like Facebook and Instagram and everything, we could connect with like homies from like other cities. So we got a bunch of friends from Cologne, from Bremen, from Frankfurt as well. So, and then they were coming to Berlin like all the time in like holidays or whatever, when we were still used to go to school. And I think since like 4 or 5 years, all the homies from like all the cities, they kind of moved here. So it's like now, I would say a big crew of like in total 20, 30 guys, whatever. It's like, it's sick to have like so many dudes out here, and like everyone is doing their own thing kinda, and different things from all over. Yeah, all the stuff we could do, so it's sick.
Yeah, I think that's one of the coolest things about skateboarding. Somehow you always got in touch with other cultures as well, or you're like getting connected to, in your case, with photography or art. Some started to film, others starting music. I think this is something that skateboarding always brings with, right?
Totally. And I think that's the thing about skateboarding. It's not only skateboarding. It also doesn't matter if you're like the best skater or whatever. It's just like about all the surroundings as well. As you said, like skateboarding brings like music, arts, photography, filming. So everyone kind of find their own niche. And it's just like a super, super good way to connect all the things, then combine like your friend's stuff with your stuff, and you can inspire each other and just trying out some things and see what you like, what you don't like, and doing nice stuff.
And now over Instagram and all the other, over internet especially, you're connected all over the world. You've been all over the world, I think.
Not all over the world, but...
But yeah, in some main cities. Here. Yeah. Cool. So you just said photography was always a part of your skateboarding development on site. So when did you recognize there can be a little bit more?
I think like at first it was just like taking photos of my friends. Like it's still how I still do it, actually. Just like being out with my friends, taking photos of them and kind of capturing our daily life. And then at some point, I don't know, I was in school, but I realized I don't really like it, like most of the kids, I guess. But I was getting more and more into photography, and I knew like, okay, this is my thing. Like, I really want to do this. And I got a bunch of like good friends, like really, really nice dudes. And there's a lot of potential. So it's like interesting. And then I think probably when I was like 17, 18, I started taking like the first photos for like a couple brands, like streetwear brands or whatever, and then started also doing like photo zines with like publications and started doing my own exhibitions. And through that, it just kind of kept on rolling. And I dropped out of high school at some point. I didn't get my A levels. And then I was like, okay, like all my teachers were like, okay, that's like, it's not good. You have to do another year or whatever. You have to finish your school. And I was like, nah, actually, I don't want to. Like, I just want to do my own stuff. And I was like, okay, so I have to work a lot. I have to do like going hard. And luckily, somehow it worked out till now. And I'm pretty happy about that I can just like do what I like, what I love with all my friends, including everyone, and traveling the world and having a good time.
Cool. And you modeled at the same time, right? In a young age?
Yeah, I think, yeah. Yeah, when I was younger, probably like 16, 17, started that. And I was in an agency and got like some jobs in Berlin, but I don't know. At this point, it was like cool, but then the agency, they told me like, okay, maybe you have to train a little bit, like getting some more muscles and shit. I was like, I don't know. I think that's not for me. Like, if I would like to do it, then yes. But if someone else wants me to do it, I was like, nah, I'm not into that. Then I like dropped out of the agency. And yeah, I don't know. yeah, I think that was actually my model career, I would say, like pretty short. But I think I feel more comfortable behind the camera than in front of it.
Cool. And back then, or still, do you had any role models here in Berlin? Skateboards, creative role models, someone you looked up to? Or someone who guided you, maybe?
Guided, I think, like, probably when we first started going to Civilist, I don't know, like 8 years ago, whatever. So we got in touch with like Foley and all of the CV crew. So that was probably the first older guys who were like showing us the history of Berlin skateboarding and also more stuff from that, and teached us a lot, talked to us a lot, supported us a lot. I think also like Foley, for example, he's like, he got us a lot of opportunities. He pushed us all the time, like really hard. So we can be thankful to have someone like Foley and Civilist in Berlin for us. But I wouldn't know anyone else. I mean, there are a lot of guys who like just been there, helped us out and connected us with each other. And yeah.
Do you remember your first photography job?
Damn. Actually, I don't like the first paid one. I can't remember, I guess. Don't really know.
And you're always working alone, or is there someone you're sharing your work with, like Paul or something, that he's I think you've done some project together as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean when I doing a shoot or whatever or project, I always, first thing is just like thinking about, okay, who could I involve? So it's starts with like models or whatever. It's always just like guys like Johannes or JJ or all my other friends, just like try to include them, because if you work with your friends, you also have like a different vibe, you know. It's not like, it's like really chill, it's like really good. You know each other for like years, so you know how they are, they know you. And I think it's kind of good to work with your friends. And then, yeah, I mean, Paul is doing directing and movies and shit. Actually pretty dope, and now also really successful, which makes me really happy. But yeah, every time, like, when we have the chance to also get like a filmer on board or whatever, I'm like, we definitely need Paul. Or if we need music, I'm always hitting up JJ. As for example, like the Gucci thing we did in like, I don't know, 7 years, 8 ago, he did like the music, and it was like, We needed a song like last minute, and JJ is always late. He's like, he's telling me all the time, like he only can work under pressure. So you never know what you get, you know. Sometimes it's working out, sometimes not as you want. But this thing, like for the Gucci video edit thing, I asked him about a track, and he was like, okay, shit, give me like 30 minutes, send me some raw edit over, and probably still one of my favorite tracks ever, like such a dope vibe, super nice, like some new wave things. It's like, that was pretty dope. But yeah, I'm always happy when I can work with my friends. Also for like styling my girlfriend Caro, we are already together for like, I don't know, seven years. We had our anniversary on 1st of May.
Congrats.
Thank you. pretty long time already. But now she's like doing styling work. So we are trying to work on a lot of projects together. I always try to get her on the projects I do. We are planning a lot of free projects together, like fashion things, because it's like, for me, coming from like skateboarding and lifestyle, documenting everything, it's like, it's a good contrast to have Caro, who's like more into the fashion world. So it's like pretty dope that we can do this together and also getting more into that. I would like to get more into like higher fashion. It's like pretty sick.
Cool. How is your workflow? Are you a professional or are you a last minute guy?
Oh, I wouldn't call myself professional because I'm like really spontaneous and I don't like to plan too much, because then there's like too much in my head going on. So I kind of like just going somewhere and then go with the flow, you know, like So switching from one dude to the other.
Yeah, that's something new for us as well, actually.
I like that. Is there more people coming?
I guess so. Yeah, we invited the whole party.
Sick. Yeah. Everyone is allowed to ask one question.
Exactly. Yeah, but it has to be a dope one, obviously. Yeah. No, what you just mentioned, you know, like that. Actually, you're not really super hot on planning specifically. Mm-hmm. That you're more about, like, you know, going with the flow or trusting your instincts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think like this is almost like a contrast, because I know, like, you love to shoot analog,
mm-hmm.
which basically is the very different end of the spectrum, you know, because you have to wait, you know, about the result and stuff. Like, how is this coming together?
Actually, I started shooting on like digital.
Uh-huh.
I think I was doing like an internship in like eighth grade at like a photo studio in Berlin, and then right after that I was like asking my mom, like, okay, can I buy like the camera from the owner? She's doing like a good deal, 200 euros, whatever. So at first I was doing this, and then at some point, probably already after like half a year shooting, I was buying those one-way cameras, mm-hmm. which can you shoot like, I don't know, 36 or 26 photos, 28 photos, I guess, and then just develop them and sort them away. And after first roll, I was just like, okay, fuck, like, that's what I want to do, that's what I like, and then bought a bunch of cameras. And since that, I'm just shooting on film. I mean, sometimes you have to shoot digital, but I really avoid shooting digital and try to trust, like, my, as you said, my instinct, mm-hmm. and also my camera. Like, my babies, I always try to treat them like really well and hope that they don't, like, that they work all the time. But actually, I have to say, till now, everything worked out all the time. And often it's like, I have I'm shooting and I have like something in mind. I see and I think, like, okay, I know how the photo will turn out. Mm-hmm. And then it turns out to be like so much sicker than I thought. So it's like, on film, and I also love the process, because it's just like, you have to wait, you know, you shoot and you have a picture in mind, but you don't see it. And then you just wait for like a couple of days or a week or whatever.
Mm.
And then you get the photo back and just like, damn, like, that was like real sick or good memories or whatever. Like, and I think when I shoot digital, it's just like, okay, that's cool. And how can I get it better? And then I just continue on shooting and shooting and shooting. And after that, I have like probably 500 photos from like the same
exactly.
object or angle or whatever, and just like, okay, dude, that's like way too much. It's like so unnecessary.
Mm.
So yeah.
But what do you think, like, when it comes to preferring to shoot analog? Like, do you have like a job or two where the result was completely different to what you had in mind? Then you had to readjust to the new scenario, so to speak?
Yeah, like, as I said, till now, I got like pretty lucky with like the results of like shooting film. Mm. But there were a couple of times where just like the film wasn't working, you know, it's just like total black. And then I was lucky and had like a backup or whatever, like I shot another roll or whatever. Or just like one time, there was like super hot summer day, like 36 degrees, and I was shooting a friend of mine for some Nike shit, and then we were like sweating so bad, and I had the camera around my neck all the time. And when I developed the photos and got them back, I just realized my sweat went through the camera on the film. So all the photos, they were like kind of like glowing, you know, like from the sweat. And I was like, oh damn. And I was lucky, actually, it was like pretty good looks. So I was like lucky with that. But yeah, otherwise I'm like, till now, lucky dude, like shooting on film. Hopefully it will stay like this.
But speaking about lucky, you know, all the well, the majority of clients you worked for in the past, you know, like, They're pretty high profile clients, you know, like from Nike SB to Supreme to Gucci to Dior and stuff. Like, how did this happen? Because like, you don't necessarily have like a portfolio where you go like, hey,
yeah
that's it. Just like pick one.
I don't know, and I'm still super thankful for that all the things turned out. as they are to now, but I think it's just like the surroundings of us in the environment that we have like good people around us, and that like one thing worked out with another. Mm-hmm. We connected with some crew, and yeah, I think we were just pretty lucky. And also, I mean, it's just like being out there, you know, we always try to be out there and giving like output content, and probably people just see that and like that. Mm. And then in a city like Berlin, I don't know, it was just like the right moment at the right point for some reason. And yeah.
So basically just like a lucky stroke you had.
I think so. Maybe also like I think at some point we deserve what we got till now, but also
hopefully, man.
Yeah, I hope so too. But yeah, I think also a lot of good things. But I think it's also karma, you know, like when you like what you give, you get back, you know. Like mm-hmm. if you're always trying to give your best and be the best kind of version of yourself and trying to do dope stuff and spread good energy, you get it back, you know. So mm-hmm. I think at some point we deserve where we are at right now.
Okay. Yeah, I agree, actually. what's the thing? Like, obviously, it's a no-brainer for you and the rest of the crew to do something, let's say, for Nike SB as an example, because, you know, like, you're closely connected scene-wise. When it comes to a client like Dior, for example, do you have discussions about it? Like, if you, regardless of the money involved, that if you should do it or not, because, you know, it's a very different field to skateboarding, for example.
Mm-hmm. Actually, the Dior thing was more or less really random, because I wasn't supposed to shoot the Dior thing, and we were just being like actually the models. Mm-hmm. And the producer of the shoot just told me like, okay, Steffen, bring your camera and just shoot some behind the scenes, you know. So I was doing that, and then in the end, I showed her the photos, and she were like, oh, damn, that's really cool. Like, we should send it over to some magazine or whatever. And I was like, okay, do so. If it works out, would be nice. If not, I don't really care, because I like still had a good time. And then randomly out of nowhere, she were like hitting me up and were like, okay, Oyster Magazine wants to have the photos from the Dior shoot. And I was like, oh, damn, okay. Like, we will get printed like, I don't know, 8 pages or whatever. So it was like sick. Mm. But other way, like when we're doing like kind of different projects from what we used to do, I don't know. I mean, skateboarding is like really, really cool right now. So the clients, they know what they kind of want or get if they come to us.
In terms of aesthetics.
In terms of aesthetic, like they know, like, I think I wouldn't shoot something which is like super staged or whatever. Like always I try to, doesn't matter like what project it is, but I always try to like getting like, I don't know, a natural aesthetic and super nice like vibe, super spontaneous, and just to, I don't know, like, yeah, try to keep it simple.
Okay. And your first personal foray into fashion, so to speak, was with your 030 brand, right?
Or
was there something before?
Yeah, actually there was something before. I'm drawing since I'm a child or whatever. So I used to go to media school, mm-hmm. and we had this screen printer in the school, and we also had it in classes. So we had some project was like doing screen prints, and the final result was like doing some t-shirts or whatever for the class. And I did that and just posted it on Instagram and showed it to my friends, and a bunch of dudes just came to me and were like, oh shit, can I have this shirt? You know, it was just like a small camera on front, mm-hmm. On the back, a camera, and then on front some random character shit. And then I did that. And after that I was like, okay, shit, I would like to do something more with like fashion, because I was like always interested in like clothes and process, and also like printing and drawing, and always try to express myself through like not only photography but also like all the other stuff which I like to, you know. So so then 030 was like the first real project, I guess. I think it was like 2015, end of 2015. Mm-hmm. So I always had like this thing, O3O, in mind. Nowadays, like everyone is having it in their bio when they live here on Instagram or whatever. Like, it's like overused kind of, but back in the day, there was like our, like we were like kind of the O3O gang. So I was like, I would like to just put O3O on a hoodie, and was looking for a back print. And my girlfriend and I, we were in Greece, and I shot this photo of her and just cropped it with like the middle finger on her lips with like this big ass fake ring, which looks like super expensive. And we just put it out with like just like simple black hoodies, white hoodies, t-shirts. And at this time, kind of no one knew us, I guess, or like still pretty small. And randomly out of nowhere, like so many people had like interest in like getting one of those O3O hoodies, mm-hmm. without even knowing kind of what O3O means. And it was like kind of crazy, because at some point, like it went to this point where like I got an email from like the what is it called, the stylist from like Kanye West. Okay. And they hit me up if they could like get some stuff for like Kim, Kanye, and then special sizes like for Northwest, the little girl. And at first I was like, okay, that can't be real, you know, like some sketchy ass mail. So I was like,
yeah, some prank.
Yeah, I was like replying. I was like, yeah, nice try, like, but I can send you some stickers for the try to get some stuff for free, but that definitely won't happen, you know. Like, and then I got another mail from like the official account from the real stylist of Kanye West, and he was like, yo, I'm really sorry about that, but that's like totally real. Like, we are buying the stuff. We're not trying to get some stuff for free or whatever. Like, this is totally real. And I was like, oh damn, shit. So I was like, Apollo. I would like apologize, and was like, oh damn. So we ended up doing stuff for them. Actually, I never saw a photo of them wearing that. Maybe they were never wearing it. And then I saw like, okay, now it's going to be big, like this whole O3O thing that can be kind of something. And then the O3O magazine from Berlin came. I never heard about them before. I think they're still existing.
It's a different generation, man.
Yeah, I think they're still existing till now, but you never hear something about them. They're like kind of dead, but still existing. I think they're owned by some big magazine. And they told me they have rights about the sign, about O3O, about the letterings, about the numbers and shit. I was like, they can't be real. Like, went to a couple of lawyers, asked them, like, can this, like, this can't be real, like, you know, I need to do this. And they were all like, nah, better stop that thing.
Okay.
So I had to stop doing that.
Was that like a harsh reality check for you? Because everything you do, you know, like, it's like a spontaneous thing, basically, and everything seems to be in constant flux.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, like, you are getting confronted, like, with real life, with adult life, so to speak, with lawyers and shit.
Yeah.
Was this something where you go, like, oh?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was, like, 18 years old. I was just, like, trying to put some clothes out and having fun with friends. And then out of nowhere, there's, like, such a bummer. I was like, dude, that can't be real, like... Like, we're doing something and it's like a really good output, you know, and like response and everything. And we are not allowed to do that actually for no reason, you know, like we're not like stepping on anyone's toes, you know, it's like doesn't make sense for me still to nowadays. But yeah, that was just like the fact that we can't do it anymore. So I was like, okay, fuck that. So my girlfriend and I were like thinking about, because I still wanted to continue doing something, you know. And then my girlfriend and I were like thinking about something new, and we were like looking for a name. And one day we were like out in Märkische Viertel. It's like right next to Wittenau, where I like lived for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw this one huge building, because it's like it's pretty ghetto out there. It's like a lot of like skyscraper type things, you know?
At least for Berlin standards, yeah.
Berlin skyscrapers. And we were just walking around and saw this huge, nice-ass building. I was like, oh, damn, that looks cool. And we Googled it, and then it turns out it's called Champagneburg. Champagneburg, which is like translated to English, like Champagne Towers. And then we're like joking like to Caro, like, yeah, we could call it Champagne Towers. And she was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, let's do this. So we did that for like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. And then, I don't know, got bored of it at some point.
That's the thing. Like it seems to be from the outside, at least for me, like that, like I know, like basically what you did there is a continuation of like what happened with O3O.
Mm-hmm.
And then it seemed to be like all of a sudden like this, it's gone.
Yeah. And then, yeah, then it was Champagne Towers for like 2 or 3 years. We did that. Actually did it kind of really, really good things. Like a couple collections or projects which I'm like really happy about. But at some point then Caro moved to Paris like 3 years ago, I guess.
What for?
At first just like studying, and then she fell in love with Paris, which can totally understand.
It's not too hard, right?
Yeah, it's such a nice city. And then she's decided to stay there doing internships at like fashion magazines and stuff like that. And now she's like still there freelancing, doing styling jobs a lot. And so it was like kind of at the end, it was just like me. And then I got back into drawing more and more. So I was like, okay, I want to do something else, which is like more personal also, because like at some point we had like shops in Tokyo and then kind of all over the world. So it was like a huge process for still just being a side project, you know, because photography was and is always like the number one, and like all the stuff with clothes and shit, it's just like side projects. So at some point it just took too long with like the samples, doing samples, then sending out line sheets and order sheets and everything, and making clothes, send them out to the shops. And so it was like, I want to do something more personal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I got back into drawing, and then I decided to do Slinky, which I'm doing now since like 1.5 years. And it's just more for like friends and family. It's just like, I'm having a studio with Paul now for like a year, kind of. And I have my screen print machine there, my airbrush and things. So like my friends and homies, they're just coming around, bring some old clothes, and we just draw on that or doing some crazy shit, and then they can go home and rock it, you know. It's like,
yeah,
it's like you come and after like 2 hours you just got a brand new piece.
It's basically like a tattoo session.
Yeah. Oh tattoo sessions. I try to get into tattoos more. Like I bought a machine from Japan like last year, and we bought some fake skin to try it out.
Okay.
And dude, we totally fucked it up. Like my hands like shaking so bad. Like, okay, I can't do this. But it like stuck in my head. So I was looking for a friend or someone who's like having all the equipment, because I just had the machine, you know. And now, like a couple of weeks ago, I met a friend of mine. He was like, yeah, I'm doing tattoos and shit. I was like, okay, can I come around? And you're giving me some advice and shit. So like I can try it out, because I told him like I tried it on fake skin, didn't work out, but I think it's better on like real skin. So I was like, okay, I will just do some on my legs, and got my first one on my leg now by myself. And now I'm hyped. I really want to do more. And I'm looking for all my friends. I'm asking like everyone, yo, you want to get a tattoo or something? Like, we should do some.
what's the reaction? Are they happy with your new passion, or are they going, dude, man, stick to fashion?
No,
don't tattoo us.
Separated. Okay. Some of them like, okay, cool. Like, I will give you my leg. Let's do some on there. But other homies just like, nice. I think they don't like that much. But I think it's like, yeah. I don't know. I don't really mind. Like, let's see. But I'm hyped to do some. And if no one else is down to get tattooed, then I will just tattoo myself till there's no space left.
What is Caro thinking about this?
Oh, Caro. I wasn't sure at first, but Carl was actually really supportive.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because now I got like a smoking dog on my leg. Uh-huh. And at first I showed her some other design. I was like, okay, should I get this? And she was like, oh no, the smoking dog is like super nice. Like you should do the smoking dog. I was like, oh, for real? Like, she was like, yeah. And then I showed it to her and it's like, I mean, it's not perfect. You know, it's like my first tattoo, which I did myself. So it's like kind of sketchy, but she was like, no, that's so nice. It's so cool. I love it. Like you should do more. And that got me hyped up. So I'm happy that she likes it.
Of course, man.
Yeah, it wouldn't be good if she doesn't like it. But then she needs to see it like all the time, you know, it's like.
But how do you guys cope with the new situation? Like, you know, she's being in Paris and you are still here in Berlin.
Oh, I mean, there's like, especially now, I mean, we're together for like 7 years now. And she's living in Paris for, I think, about 3 years, maybe a little longer, maybe a little less, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's like hard times, especially when we don't see each other for like a couple of weeks or maybe a month even, or 1.5 months, I don't know, like, because she don't have money to come over, or I don't have money to come over. So there's like definitely sometimes like rougher times, but I don't know, in the end, I think we're going quite well, because I try to come as much as often as much as I can. Mm-hmm. For example, now I try to go over to Paris for like a month or maybe two, just being there for like a little longer. And she tried to come as often as she can. So it's like quite nice. We're always trying to make like vacations or whatever, mm-hmm. and going somewhere together. And in the end, I mean, it's like a couple of weeks. If you know that you have like the right person, you know, then it's like, doesn't matter if we don't see each other for like a week or two,
that's
you know.
True.
Yeah.
But what do you think? Like, you know, did you ever really spend some heavy thought on basically following her? Because, you know, like all the stuff you're passionate about, you know, like skateboarding, mm-hmm. art, fashion, etc. You know, basically Paris is still the hotbed for these days in Europe.
Definitely.
So, or are you too much connected to Berlin to...
No, I mean, I also have like a bunch of friends in Paris for sure, for like skating and stuff like that. And it would be really, really good for like working, especially mm-hmm. in fashion, doing more in Paris. But there was some point where it was like, okay, I actually would move here. Mm-hmm. It would be like quite a step and not that easy, but I could move here. And then something happened. We decided that I don't move there. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, I don't know. It's just like, it's also like Berlin. I got all my friends here, you know, I got a lot of work
sure.
here. I can, it's cheaper. It's like more nature. It's more nature. It's, I don't know. It's like, I love Berlin, and Berlin will be always like my home, you know? And now I just realized I also like it like that I'm going to Paris for like maybe a week, maybe two or a month or whatever, but I'm not living there. So it's always just like kind of vacation and I have a good time there, mm-hmm. but it's not that I'm not living there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, obviously like when it comes to cities like, you know, Paris, New York, Tokyo and stuff, it's always like super dope like to be there. But on the other hand, you know, like fucking hell, if I really need to make a living here, and that's a totally different thing all of a sudden. All of a sudden, like, things are looking not so peachy anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I heard about a lot of stories from like those cities, from like New York or Paris or London and Tokyo, where like people live there, and for sure there's like also hard times in like big cities like that. So I like to keep those cities as my like cities to travel, you know, mm-hmm. and like nothing but the best times. But I don't want to go there for like too long to suffer or whatever, you know, like.
And also like this could easily ruin the picture you have of the city,
yeah,
right?
That's why I mean, for example, New York, like I'm deeply, deeply in love with New York. I went there like now once, like 3 years ago with like all the friends for like 2 weeks, and it was like actually the best trip I ever had. It's like nothing but fun. It was so dope. And I just want to keep it like that, you know, it's like for me the sickest city ever, but I just want to leave it like that, you know?
Mm. So now that it's pretty clear that you will stay here in Berlin a little longer, at least. So what's next on your menu?
Actually, I have this plan in mind to go to Japan for like a month or two. Uh-huh. But this is already stuck in my head for like 2 years now. Mm. And at first, I didn't have enough money. And then COVID came out of nowhere and couldn't let us travel. So now I'm planning with Caro to go to Japan, to Tokyo, and like hopefully October, because I have a bunch of friends over there. And one of my friends, he's now running a new gallery and told me I can have an exhibition over there.
Right.
So, but the thing is, for an exhibition, I need something, you know, so like
now I'm... would make sense.
Yeah. so now I'm trying to go out like almost every day and get as much photos as I can. And also like that's why I'm also going to Paris, for mm-hmm. example, to just like shoot somewhere else as well, and hope that I can make a magazine by hopefully September to have something ready for like October. And then I would love to go with Caro to Japan, traveling there, being in Tokyo, seeing some nature, doing the exhibition, and then hopefully coming back in November, maybe doing an exhibition with the same thing here mm-hmm. in Berlin, which would be nice. And then let's see. I would love to also like during the winter, because I just realized this winter when like we had such a hard time in Berlin this year because the winter was so rough. And then
it was a long one. Yeah,
it was a pretty long one. And then the spring was like teasing, you know, there were like one or two days which were like good, and we saw like, okay, now the spring is coming.
But it felt like basically this year it felt like 2.5 months of constant April.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it never came. It was like such a bad weather. So, and then a couple of friends of mine, they were like in Mexico or Costa Rica, wherever, you know, like, I was like, damn, like, I want to be there as well. So I was like, doesn't make sense actually to stay in Germany during winter if you like freelance, you know, like, why am I here if I could be somewhere else, like doing a nice project or working on something and have nice weather. So hopefully after Japan, I mean, that's like just big dreams. I hope that they're all working out in the end, but that would be really nice to go to Japan. And then after that, just leaving Berlin for like 2 or 3 months, just being somewhere warm. That would be nice.
Fingers crossed, man.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having taken your time for this little chit-chat.
That's it?
That's it already, man.
Dope, thanks. Thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah, it was lovely to have you here, man.
Yeah, thank you.
And then see you around, I guess.
Yeah, hopefully.
Till then, bye.
Bye-bye.